Well, are you ready for my move? No, these sweet ladies. I volunteered to join their group and they declined my invitation. I mean, my request. Anyway, they declined. I don't know if you are as troubled as I am by the things I see and hear in our world. It's really gotten to the point that I don't even want to hear the news. Any of it. I just don't care to hear it. Because evil is so rampant. It is so systemic. It's everywhere. And it seems as if Satan is at work and he is unchecked. Unchecked. But this morning, I want to ask you to join me in a season of prayer. A season of prayer for our international mission work. It breaks my heart to say this. It just breaks my heart. But countries in Africa and Asia, Europe, especially Africa and Europe, and even in South America, there are countries where God is at work and the people are responding in such beautiful ways. There's tremendous revival taking place in parts of our world, but not in our nation. Not in our nation. And it breaks my heart. But I want to ask you to join with me in a season of prayer for our international missionaries. There are over 3,500 of these men and women who have their families embedded in countries with people groups, and they are ministering, sharing the gospel of Christ. They are meeting people at the point of real need. And they are sharing Jesus, and by their life example and the resources they are able to channel that way through the preaching of the word and the teaching, they are impacting our world in a very beautiful way. And God is honoring their work. And one of those families is the Bagby family. You should have received your prayer guide for international missions today. If you look at the first day, the Bagby family is the ministry highlighted, emphasized for today. And they are in Nepal doing a tremendous work. In just a moment, I want to share with you from the Word of God on a focus dealing, addressing the issue of Satan and his work. Satan hindered us, Paul said to the people in Thessalonica. And we're going to pick those three words up, Satan hindered us. And we're going to explore those three words and how that word impacts you and me where we live today. But I want you to hear, I want you to see this video, how the Bagbys are at work and what they are facing and how God is blessing their work in Nepal. Show the video.
A family, we came here a little over 2 years ago.
This work, it's the difficult part, those first stages in farming. There's several challenges to reaching Tibetans. 24 different Tibetan people groups with a distinct language, a distinct culture. I mean, they view each other completely different. To get to them is so time-consuming. It might be like the tops of the earth, those last few places where someone will believe because of the difficulty to get to them.
I love mountains, and I love God. Most of the highest mountains in the world is where the Tibetan people are. On the outside, the tip of the iceberg seems nice and friendly. Underneath there's a lot of emptiness. There's a lot of hopelessness and really a lot of walls. It's very difficult for a Tibetan to come to know Christ and to follow him. And so there's a lot of barriers to the gospel. But we're seeing now more and more stories of people who have been very resilient to the gospel that are now coming to Christ. There's also a lot of isolated believers, you know, spread out throughout the Himalayas, but they're very few and very far between.
Pray for Tibetans who have not yet come to know Him, that He'll reveal Himself to them, whether it be someone sharing, reading the gospel for the first time, that He'll continue to make ready the people to hear about who He is. Please pray for Tibetan brothers who are struggling as they've been separated from their families because of their faith.
There's so many things that are in their way, so much persecution.
Pray that they would share more boldly, form churches and groups.
They'll gain more understanding and wisdom from the scripture as God continues to reveal that to them.
This is such a huge, huge task to reach all these different Tibetan Buddhists dispersed all across the Himalaya Mountains. And this task is so big.
Please pray for our team as we battle a lot of different obstacles to the gospel. Pray that we'll be able to form a strategy that comes straight from the Lord on how to reach people around us. Pray that we'll be faithful to continue to take up our cross daily and sacrifice whatever is necessary for people to come to know who He is. Just pray that our love for the people will continue to grow so that we can be more effective as we continue to share with people throughout the country.
I don't know if you picked up on his statement about the obstacles they face. And you and I face obstacles just like the Bagbis do in Nepal. Obstacles that are intentional, placed deliberately in our lives. Challenges that you and I face oftentimes are the work of Satan's scheming, okay? And I want to ask you to join me in this simple focus on verse 18 of the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. It's such a pointed statement, and it is often overlooked, and we don't realize oftentimes what God is saying in such small statements. Three words, but powerful, very informative, enlightening for you and me. And we need to understand what God's Word says about this topic. Verse 18, chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians. Here's what we read. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. Paul says to the people in Thessalonica, we wanted to come to you. We wanted to come back. We wanted to revisit you and see how things were going with you, time and again, but Satan hindered us. I want us to think about that theme. Satan hindered us. And I ask you to consider with me the three things, those three words, and let's see what God's Word has to say about these three things. If you look at the text, Paul is basically saying, we have an enemy. He says, we have an enemy. And all of us do. And he says that he helps us understand that Satan is our enemy. Now, sometimes we have issues come up in our life and we think somebody is our enemy, some person. That if oh so and so had not done this, or if she had not said that, and they provoked you or they created a problem for you, we think people are our enemy. But I'm saying to you, people are not our enemy. Satan may be using them to hurt or harm or distract or deter or detour or whatever the purpose and mission of God in our lives, but people are not the issue. It is Satan that is the issue at hand. And Paul wants us to understand that we have an enemy. And that enemy is Satan. And we need to understand the reality of Satan's person. He is real. A lot of people have questioned whether there are evil spirits, whether there are demons, whether Satan is real. Or is that just a figment or creative element of man's imagination? Is Satan real? And I'm saying to you that he is real. We have an enemy. And just as sure as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are real, Satan is real. I ask you to consider what Jesus had to say about Satan. If you want to know whether he's real or not, then let's look and see what the scripture says. Jesus, our Savior, described and talks about Satan himself. I take you to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 4. Listen to what Jesus had to say about Satan. In the first several verses, first 11 verses, you have Christ. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, by Satan. And in that temptation, in that time of temptation, 40 days Jesus fasted. He went without food 40 days. And at the end of the 40 days, Satan approached our Savior. And he began to tempt him. And he offered three opportunities for Jesus. He tempted him in three different ways. But when you move on down and you read that passage of the temptations and you get down to verse 10, here is the last statement our Savior makes concerning Satan. He says, "Away with you, Satan," or "Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." That was his response to the third temptation of Satan. Jesus, he talks about the reality of Satan. He was tempted, and the evil one is real, and the enemy wants to destroy you. And he will tempt you, and he will come to you to destroy you. The scripture tells us that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And our Savior is the one that's talking about this thief, this one that is adversary, the Hasatan in Hebrew, the Satan, the adversary. Jesus says he is real. But not only does Jesus say he's real, the scriptures actually discuss the activity of Satan. If you look in the scriptures, there is a passage of scripture, a statement that Jesus made to Peter. It's found in Luke's gospel in the 22nd chapter. Listen to verse 31. Jesus has been teaching the disciples, and he finishes that lesson, and then he turns to Peter and he says, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you." And he continues. The scripture tells us that Satan is real. The Lord Jesus had to deal with him. And he says to Peter, "Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as in a sieve." And I would suggest to you this morning that Satan has asked for every one of you and for me. And he wants to do what he can to tear us down and to destroy us and to leave us a ruin so that our life would not be a testimony to the power and glory of God and all that he can do in our lives. But Jesus says, "Peter, Satan has asked for you, but I have prayed for you." Well, that's not all. The scripture says that Satan is real. But look around you. Would you just consider the news? Listen to what the talk is around Long Beach, Mississippi. Society itself declares the fact that Satan is real. There is an evil one out to destroy, and he wants to ruin your life. Because if he can ruin your life, then he will tarnish your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord would not be able to use you effectively. People would not listen to you and believe a word you say because of the life you're living. And they see the mess that your life is, and they see the brokenness and the ruin, and they see the... You describe it. Society is telling us every day that Satan is real. So I want to assume that you understand that we have a real enemy. It is Satan. It is not another person. but I want to take this a step further. Paul says Satan hindered us. The enemy is real. But I want you to note the word hindered, okay? Not only do we need to understand that Satan is a real person, we need to understand the reality of his person. But friend, we need to understand how Satan works. We need to understand his power and what he is able to do and what he is not able to do. And the scripture is very clear in a number of places. And for the sake of time, I'll only take you to two places, but I start in the book of Job. In the first two chapters of the book of Job, you see how the adversary, Satan himself, is at work. And I want you to note that Paul says Satan hindered us. Hindered is not the final word, okay? Satan cannot destroy you. Satan can tempt you. He can create circumstances. He can come onto you. And yet you can be victorious over his efforts. Job was. Job, the scripture says that the sons of God were before the Lord, and Satan, the adversary, comes along, and it's the Lord God who called out to Satan, asked Satan, said, "Where have you been?" And he says, "Roaming to and fro the earth, forth on the earth." And he says, "Well, have you considered Job, my servant?" And Satan says, "Well, you know, yeah, I know Job, but you know, the only reason he serves you is because you've blessed him. He's got all these children. He's got all this livestock. He's a wealthy man. He has a lot of land. Who wouldn't serve you if they were that blessed by you?" And God says, "Well, why don't you just take it all away from him?" Satan says, "If you remove that, and he'll curse you." And God says, "Okay, you can have it. You can go and you can take it, but you can't touch his life." And so Satan went. And how did the adversary attack Job? First day, first experience, all his children were killed. Yeah. The scripture tells us that he lost his children. Every one of them were killed. Not only did Job lose his children, he lost a lot of his possessions. Okay? The raiders came. After his children were destroyed, all of his property, his sheep, his animals, livestock, was all taken. And he's left with nothing. And then the scripture goes on. It talks about how not only did he lose his property and his children, the scripture tells us that he also had his wife turn on him. Why don't you curse God and die? Okay? Later, you know, Job, he stood strong with the first loss of property and children. And he worshiped God. And he remained blameless, a man of integrity. And then Satan, he says, "Well, the only reason he's blessing you is because you're protecting him. You know, you've got this hedge around him. But you let him lose his health. You touch his body and he'll curse you." So God allows Satan, okay, you can have his body, but you can't take his life. And so the next thing you find Job losing his health. And not only does he lose his health, his wife suggests that he would be better off to curse God and die than to continue in such sorrow and suffering and struggle. And Job, he acknowledges, "Woman, you speak foolish." And in the midst of it all, Satan attacked Job. But he could not kill Job. He could not take Job's life. And friend, I want to suggest to you that the adversary, Satan, he wants to destroy you and me. And he will take our children. He will take our health. He will take our property, and he will even cause those that we love and hold so dear to turn against us and suggest to us what is bad for us. Satan hindered. What I want you to understand is that Satan hindered them. He hindered Paul. Paul was not able to go back to Thessalonica. He prevented Paul from going back. But he could not stop Paul from worshiping and serving and honoring God in his life. And so even though he couldn't go in the flesh, he penned a letter and sent that letter to them. And he let them know, you know, I'm not trying to avoid you. I really want to come and be with you. But Satan hindered us. Time and again, I tried. But here's this letter. And Paul helps us understand why he was not able to go back. Now, friend, what I want you to understand is that we have an enemy. And Satan is real. He's real. And Satan, he has the power to hinder you and me in many ways, to hurt us in many ways, to take away from us much of what we have. But he cannot take your life. Only God is the giver and the taker of life. Only Satan can only do what God allows him to do. Are you with me? Now, for the sake of time, I want to move to what I want to really zero in on for us today. Because you and I are facing these issues. And we need to understand how it is that Satan is at work. Now, understand, this whole focus is in the larger context of good news for end times. And the good news for end times is that Satan may have a heyday in our society and in our community. He may wreak havoc in our families and in our communities, but he cannot take our lives. And in the end, you and I, those of us who remain obedient and loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ, are going to be victorious over Satan. The victory has already been won. He may rob you of your health, and he may strip you of your wealth, and he may leave you homeless, and he may even cause friends to turn against you and family to abandon you. But the Lord God will not abandon his. He will remain faithful and true, and he will take care of you with whatever you have left. Are you with me? Don't be surprised, friend, if the enemy attacks you, because he's real and that's his scheme. But I want to go to the third aspect. The third word, us, that is so benign. It's so, what's significant about that little word, us? Satan hindered us. Well, I think that's the most important word for you and me. I think you and I need to understand, we must understand the realm of Satan's, are you with me? The realm of Satan's pursuit. Where is he at work? What realm in this world is he targeting? It is you. You. You see the effects of natural law around us. We have storms, we have rain, we have drought. Natural law is taking its effect on planet Earth. But there is an evil one that is after you. He wants to destroy you. And there are some key words that the scripture gives us that help us understand how Satan works. Okay? The first is the word adversary. I've already shared with you from Job, and I don't know how your translation renders the Hebrew there. It's probably Satan, the Satan, or the adversary. One of the two is probably your translation in the first and second chapters of Job. But in the balance of Scripture and in your life experience, you need to understand what it means to face an adversary. Okay? The scripture tells us, it gives us a very clear statement there. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, I hope you will highlight this verse. In 1 Peter chapter 5, listen to verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now the scripture continues, resist him. And it tells us how to confront the adversary. But you need to understand that Satan is our adversary. He is out to do you in, to bring harm and hurt to you. And he wants to destroy you because you and I are the very crown of God's creation. We are the most valued part of God's creation. There is nothing he values more than you as a person. You may not feel valued. You may not feel loved. You may feel like you deserve God's wrath because of choices that you've made in your life. You may feel like you are not worthy of the good that God wants for you because of the things you've done in the past. But I want you to understand that God loves you and he wants to forgive. He wants to restore. He wants to transform your brokenness and the ruin and the guilt and the shame and the ugly that you feel with regard to yourself. He wants to transform that into the beauty that he created in you. And he will do it. And he can do it through Jesus. But Satan, our adversary, is walking around trying his best to destroy you. How will he destroy you? Well, let's understand more fully who he is. Not only do we have this term adversary that is used to identify him, we also have this word tempter. He is our tempter. In Matthew's gospel, chapter 4 and verse 1, the scripture says of Satan that the Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness. Let me just read the verse. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Tempted by the devil. Sometimes we feel strong and we feel like it doesn't matter what Satan does or what anybody does, I'm going to be faithful and true to my Savior. I'm going to be loyal to my God. But all of us wane in our strength. And then the truth of the matter is, in your strength, you're still weak. And when strength is misunderstood, it becomes a weakness. And it becomes the very point that Satan will attack you and he will do everything he can to destroy you. When you think you're strong, be careful because you're about to fall. You're about to fall. The only place for you and me is the very place that our Savior remained. And that was with his Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to note that when Satan tempted him, he always rebutted that temptation with a verse of Scripture. There is nothing more powerful in your arsenal than the Word of God. If you look at the armor of God given to us in Ephesians chapter 6, if you consider the armor of God, there is only one weapon of offense, and it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And friend, if you're going to withstand the temptations of Satan, you've got to have the Word of God. You can't defeat Satan of your own strength. It is only through the Word of God, through God himself, that you can resist the temptations of Satan. And if you do not fill your head, if you're not reading the Word of God, you are setting yourself up for failure and destruction. He will destroy you. And unfortunately, many people are at that point and don't even realize it. They do not have the Word of God in them. The other word is deceiver. In the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse 9, listen to this word. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice of him in heaven saying, Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before God day and night, has been cast down. And listen to how they overcame the tempter. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. It was by the blood of the Lamb. It was by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life unto the death. What should we understand about Satan? I want you to understand that he is real and he is at work. Hal Lindsey wrote a book, Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth. Well, I want you to know Satan is alive, but he's not well. He is a defeated foe, and he is crippled by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he is a defeated foe. But he knows his time is short. And he's doing everything he can to destroy as many of us as he can, as quickly as he can. Satan is real. I want you to understand his power. He is powerful. He's much more powerful than you are. He's more powerful than the angels are. But he is not as powerful as God. And if you understand that you are not capable of defeating Satan, and if you will stay with the Lord God and be obedient to his word, then in Christ you can be victorious over Satan. Your adversary, your tempter, the deceiver, however he comes to you, you can defeat him with the word of God, but not without the word of God. Now, the last thing I want you to understand is that you are his target. I want you to understand the realm of his focus, where he is at work. He's at work attacking you. And I want you to know that you have a weapon with which you can defeat Satan. But without the Word of God, the living Word of God, Jesus, and the written Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, without the Word of God, you will be defeated. You will fall. But with God, you can defeat Satan. And I challenge you this morning to embrace the Word of God. Are you not reading the Word of God, filling your mind with the Word? Are you not part of a study group, a discussion group, a small group to talk about the Word of God, to learn it together and learn how to apply it to our life? Join one. And in just a few minutes, we're going to break out and go to small groups. And I want you to be a part of the victorious crowd by being a part of a small group. God will, he will empower you to deal with Satan however he comes at you if you will embrace him. Satan hindered us. Is he hindering you? Let's pray.